In the beginning, there was a dream. A dream that became a film fest. Known throughout the universe as the greatest collection of motion pictures ever assembled. Now, Apocalypse Video brings you the fifth installment of Hot Dave's Summer Film Fest. The future is super female. A gathering of the best and worst in female-led comic book movies. From Barbed Wire to Barbarella, Catwoman to Tank Girl. They're all here, and they're all fabulous. Step aside, fellas, because these girls get it done. On this week's episode, Lori Petty ditches her surfboard and commandeers a tank to go one-on-one against the holographic head of Malcolm McDowell. It's Tank Girl.
It's the year 2033. There's no law. No mercy.
You're gonna really love this one.
Bang. And no water.
There are 3 million liters of water underneath the Blue Dunes, and you will retrieve it.
The odds of survival are 1,000 to 1. And that's just the way she likes it.
My, my. Talented, isn't she?
Hi! Feeling a little inadequate?
She'll be fun to break.
I like pain.
Lori Petty.
Did I hurt you yet?
Ice-T.
Turn this boat around or you're gonna get us all killed.
And Malcolm McDowell.
Just how many of my men did you kill?
United Artists Pictures presents...
Just say, I won.
I won.
Tank Girl.
What's it like knowing you're about to die?
You don't miss!
All right, did you guys do what I told you? You kept all your bodily fluids intact. You didn't waste your pee. You didn't just flush it down the toilet. Tell me you followed the rules.
Yeah, Dave, I also spit and cried and
spit and cried.
Sweat into those pods you gave us.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. There's a bit of a water shortage lately. So.
I've been drinking Michael, though, you know, so...
Oh, we all have, yeah. He tastes so good. Well, I'm your host, Dave. Thank you for listening to another installment of Hot Dave Summer Film Fest Volume 5. The future is super female. And boy, oh boy, do we got a weird episode for you today. We're talking about Tank Girl, a movie that I had never seen prior to this, but... I remember this was one of those movies we talk about this. You go into the video store back in the day. There's a lot of weird VHS covers that capture your eye. And Tank Girl was one of them. Because if you guys recall, it's got that weird like punk rock style cover where she's just like, mm-hmm. You know, her head's to the side. She's got like a big tank coming out. And it just...
I don't think I knew anything. I never, ever,
I'm your host, Dave, by the way. I'm joined again by Jana.
Sorry. Joined again. Jana.
I had never heard of this movie before this. So you saying, oh, I don't know if you guys remember or whatever. I had no notion of what this movie was. I honestly, looking at the poster, because she's wearing the goggles and stuff like that, I thought maybe she was in a water tank.
Oh, because it's kind of distorted.
The tank girl.
She's a water tank. And so I was like, what kind of superhero can she do if she has to stay in a water tank?
Is this a sequel to The Boy in the Bubble?
That's funny.
Well, we're also joined by Ryan. Ryan, what's your kind of experience with Tank Girl?
Well, Dave, you're a big your butt smear for this one. That's my quote. I don't remember what she said. I just remember the little girl says butt smear.
Something like that.
Rebecca? Rebecca? Rebecca!
Got you.
You butt smear.
What did I tell you? Don't say butt smear. It's not becoming. Say asshole or dickwad.
That same as you, Dave. I think that VHS cover, that poster, has eluded me my whole life.
Yeah.
I was like, that is an adult movie, or what is something I'm not allowed to see. I don't know, or something, or like or what is that? And I think that imagery of that poster of her, you're right. She has the goggles on, she's in her face is up there, it's sort of fisheye lens. It kind of
that's what I thought you meant when you said tank, oh. Like water, like, because it was kind of distorted. That's what I thought you meant when you said tank, like, anyway. I thought you were hinting at, Jenna, like, with a fisheye lens.
And then, it's that cover has got me, and I was always like, what the hell? And then for a while, I was like, that looks like Gwen Stefani on that cover.
It does. Yes,
I always thought it was Gwen Stefani.
And then I just like never really watched it, and no one ever talked about it. But you're right; this is an apocalypse video store movie, and maybe people watched it, but it must have because it was on every shelf. So,
well, I remember it bombed in theaters, but weirdly, it was one of those movies that I remember there being like a one of those big cardboard standees for it, and it was that cover, and it's very. It's evocative.
Did anybody ever see it? Like, I mean, not us, but I'm saying, like, did anybody watch it? Like, did anybody rent it?
Whose idea was it to watch it here?
Yeah, I know.
Well, okay. Let's talk about a little controversy, a little in-store controversy. So we're towards the end of our stretch here with Hot Days Summer Film Fest Volume 5, and I'm not going to lie. It hasn't been very successful, much like Tank Girl. A lot of the movies, most of the movies we've watched have not been well received, either in their initial run or on their discussions here on the show. I've been getting a lot of blowback. It turns out doing a whole podcast series based on Spite is not a good idea. I've heard a lot of talk about why didn't we watch good superhero movies like Captain Marvel or Wonder Woman or whatever. And my rationale was...
Those have been covered at some point.
Yeah, but that was my rationale. It's like, let's do the underseen ones. The ones that most people don't talk about are a little more culty. And I think Tank Girl really fits that slot. However... I think I could see why this movie didn't do well, because it is an unhinged disaster.
I don't think it's a disaster. I think for what
a disaster.
I think for what it is trying to do, it does it very well. It was maybe
it's got character. I'll give it that.
It was maybe just ahead of its time, because I certainly wasn't watching it thinking this is a bad movie. This doesn't know what it is. I don't know what it is. It has mixed messages, you know, mixed feelings, whatever. I certainly was not watching it thinking that. I was just watching it thinking, what the hell?
When are we going to see her rocket boobs?
So I do think that it has a voice. I just think the voice is very weird.
I mean, I kind of came around a little bit on it when it finally started to get a little bit of narrative focus. Like when she teams up with the Rippers, the kangaroo super soldiers, which we'll get into a little bit. Mm-hmm. When she started doing things, when it started becoming a little more focused, I got on board a little bit. There's a fun action sequence. The first... big tank sequence that we see when she tries to like steal this convoy of weapons or whatever, like that was fun.
Didn't even come in until halfway through the movie.
I know. I was like, where's the tank factory?
I see what you're saying. I think they were I think it was ahead of its time and it was ambitious, and I think that they were
ambitious. I'll give it that.
And I think they didn't nail what they were trying to do. I think it to me feels like a movie that they were trying to salvage something. Like there's a lot of this weird editing, the stuff with like the cutting to the animation and stuff. Like to me feels like they're covering up something a little bit.
I got that sense.
Oh, but it, yeah. The thing is, like, it's like it's a movie that I think, yeah, I think you're totally onto it. That I was really checked out a lot of the movie, and I was kind of like, even reading some of the reviews of stuff, I was like, oh, that's kind of how I was feeling. I was a little bit like
you were doing laundry.
I was like, I would get it back in, and then I'd kind of fall off again, kind of come back in, fall off, and then. And I know when Naomi Watts showed up, I was kind of like, oh, wow, there's someone, you know, there's something going on.
Okay,
here.
Dave and I kind of talked about this right after the movie while we were all milling around having the snacks that Dave put out.
While we were siphoning more water out of Mike's body.
Yeah. Which is mostly just live wire at this point. Not this has a hell of a cast. For what it is and the fact that I had never heard of it, there are a lot of known names, and even if you don't know the names, like Booga, one of the main kangaroo guys, he's a face. He's a character actor. He's been in Buffy. He's been in a couple different things, and so I recognized his voice. You know, they're freaking Malcolm McDowell.
I mean, what's her name?
My ears are burning. I was in this film.
What's her name? Like, Tank Girl herself is, what's her name from A League of Their Own, you know?
Lori Petty. This is our third Lori Petty movie after Point Break and League of Their Own.
Which is but, so insane. Like, this oeuvre of hers is nuts.
Well, I want to say, I think the biggest thing, and I didn't know this, because I know Tank Girl, it was an indie comic, like a European
British comic.
Done by, and I had looked up his name, Jamie Hewlett, who is the guy that drew these, the gorillas. He's the artist behind the band Gorillas. And that's the same artist that does Tank Girl, basically.
Was it a popular indie comic?
I think, it was very, like, underground. Like, an indie, like, kind of like the Ninja Turtles, probably. You know, I think they were hoping this was going to be, like, pop off, like, the Turtles. But it was '90s, sure. Like, late 80s, very, like, you know...
Had a lot of what I love when you go online when it talks about is Tank Girl good for kids?
No,
I love some of the things they put, and it's like it has sex, nudity, and flatulence.
There really isn't any nudity. What's the nudity
in the comic?
Oh, they left that out of the movie. Maybe to keep,
there's a little comic shot of a naked Tank Girl. I think like in the montage in the beginning.
And I think you see a little
bit
of nudity in the sex club.
I don't think so. They were pretty chaste in the sex. Everything was pretty covered.
Yeah, I mean,
everybody knows if you don't show nipple, it's not nudity, Dave.
I'm sorry. My mind was filling in the blanks. I saw the nudity in my head.
Yeah, in a way, it's funny because this movie, there's moments where I'm like, were they trying to make this sort of like a kid's thing? Like when the kangaroo men guys are kind of hanging around, I'm like.
They look pretty kiddy.
Yeah, there's they kind of have that vibe. And so it's like, I think there's a mixture and it
but
sounds like a movie.
They're not. They may look like they're something that would draw kids in, but they're not.
They're
at
gross.
All kid.
They're very
not,
gross.
Not necessarily not kid friendly. They're very, like, it's just higher. It's too high level of thinking for kids. They're, like, kind of zen and philosophical. Oh.
Well, I just meant visually. They look like someone. They could have fit right in like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Secret of the Ooze or something. It's, like, another bad guy the Turtles have to fight.
I don't know. I actually think they were a little more sophisticated than that. They kind of looked like
no,
the
I just
gorillas.
Mean visually.
The gorillas
just visually,
guys.
They look like something out of Jim Henson's Creature Studio.
Well, can I show you guys just something? Like, I just like it's just kind of interesting because I just can't believe I never pieced it together. But like all this imagery is all like the same stuff, same style as the gorillas.
Yeah.
Which I never really got, you know? And so it's kind of cool. I think that's probably the biggest legacy of this whole thing.
No, maybe. It's like to be fair, like when the movie starts and it begins with the she's just a girl, and you see all like the animation and stuff. I was in like I was like, oh, this is cool. We get actual comic book stuff, and have energy to it. And like I was kind of digging. Like I know we've talked about this on previous episodes in this Summer Film Fest. Sometimes when a movie starts out with lengthy narration, it's a bad sign. Then it's like, uh oh, this is like an unwieldy story. But I was in when Lori Petty in that signature Lori Petty tone was just like. Yeah, so like a long time ago, a meteor came and blew everything up, and now there's big water shortage. You know,
I think she did excellent.
She was good.
Excellent.
Listen up, because I'm only telling you this once. I'm not bedtime story lady, so pay attention. It's 2033. The world is screwed now. You see, a while ago, this humongous comet came crashing into the Earth. Bam! Total devastation. End of the world as we know it. No celebrities. No cable TV. No water. It hasn't rained in 11 years. Now, 20 people gotta squeeze inside the same bathtub. So it ain't all bad.
She brings that energy that this character really needs. I believe she is Tank Girl.
I just don't think I enjoy Tank Girl as a character.
Well, I think it's there.
Like, she's constantly going, whip!
Yeah.
I like her
quips.
They almost made it too, like, they were trying to go for, like, can you imagine, like, I can imagine a lot of these things he's kind of saying and the way it's sort of written as little blurbs in, like, a kind of a really, like, fucked up, cool, like, her riding a tank on a paper, you know, on a comic book kind of thing. Mm. And I just think it, like, in the movie, like, it's not quite, I don't think it's quite there. I think it feels awkward in this movie. I think there's this sort of, like, something missing. There's, like, kind of, like, a snappiness or something, or maybe it's just, like, a lack of shots. Or something, or color. I don't know. There's something in here that this movie just wasn't. I think if they made this movie now, it'd be a very, we talked about this, a very Scott Pilgrim-y kind of vibe, probably. And it just doesn't quite have
really
that.
I do not like Scott Pilgrim.
That's crazy. That's what is it that you don't like about that? What Scott Pilgrim?
I don't like the chaos, sort of. which, when you mentioned cutting to comic scenes and stuff in this movie, I was wondering if it was I thought that was kind of jarring. I didn't necessarily care for that, you know, kind of similar, I guess, to the Scott Pilgrim stuff. But I was wondering if maybe if this was a popular indie comic book that the comic book fans maybe liked that aspect of it. Mm. I don't know.
My intent thinking is that wasn't, like, maybe they were going to have the intro thing and that, and they just, because to me, those felt like almost not even, they almost felt like disconnected, a lot of those comic things, in my opinion. It was almost like, well, they didn't have enough to kind of make it, like, interesting, so they kind of just, like, cut to that stuff. That was,
well, I was
theory.
Fine with it up front. It kind of get you in, because, again, none of us have seen Tank Girl, so I kind of viewed it as like, oh, here's just a brief little, like, preview of what the comic is like, and, you know, here's what we're taking from, and here's what we're going to do in this movie. The problem where it falls off the rails for me is, like,
it kind of keeps going.
Not only as transitions, but as full on, like, we didn't have money to shoot any of this stuff, so we're just going to do it in a comic book panel way. Like, when Jet and Tank Girl, when Tank Girl and Jet Girl escape, we'll get into the story. when they escape the water and power plant, there's this whole weird sequence in animation where they get on the tank and they, like, fly off a cliff or something, and they're doing all this weird shit. I guess, like, she punches Jet.
Yes!
Oh my god,
Dave, I'm so glad you brought that part up, because I was like, I
kind this is of, all in comic book style, by the way.
Yes, I kind of went back and forth on this movie a couple times. I was into it, and then I was like, I don't know, and then I got back into it again, and then that was one of the parts where it got me out again, was the weird Jet was like, you didn't have to go so hard on me this time or whatever. And she was all like bloody bruises and stuff.
Yeah, like, are they in a fight club all of a sudden? Like, what happened?
Would we root for Tank Girl? She
was very strange.
Beat this person up that's supposed to be like a friend and a helper.
Like, it felt like a Simpsons joke where the movie's going along and then you get like this cut in thing of like scene missing, you know, and then it cuts to the next thing.
Yeah, well, and she's just insane. Tank Girl is just insane. I mean, it's like if you took the Joker or Harley Quinn and
very Harley Quinn.
Yes, and not the sort of, oh, they're an anti-hero sort of thing, and trying to make them an actual hero. It's sort of the
This movie is just unhinged. She just kind of does whatever. She's very stream of consciousness. And this movie felt like someone with mega, super, ultimate, hyper attention deficit disorder made the movie, because it's just all over the place. You know what I mean? It's just, it doesn't feel like it gets focused until over halfway through the movie when they meet with the Rippers and they gotta, you know, go take down Malcolm McDowell, whatever. But it's just, I don't know. This was a movie, it's only an hour and 45 minutes, but it felt way longer to me. I was checking my watch several times. It just never felt focused.
Yeah, I felt similar. And the thing is I love the chaoticness of Scott Pilgrim and all that stuff. And it just, I think this movie, I think you're just onto it, that it just didn't quite, I don't know, like it cutting away like that was so strange. And also
it's, you're just like, okay, so
what did they make
deal? Like, Tank Girl, obviously she has feelings for this little girl that chills like, well, in their house from, out,
yeah,
the sand,
so start from the beginning. So she's trying to find a present for her, I don't know, man friends. I don't know what they are.
It takes place like, it's like what, like, I guess water. It's almost like Mad Max Fury Road kind of stuff. Where it's like,
2033 years ago, there was a big meteor that crashed into the world. It messed up the world's rain cycles, and there hasn't been rain for 20 years. And all water in the world is controlled by Water and Power, which is run by Kesley, played by Malcolm McDowell, who's just, you know, generic evil guy. Generic, like, I want you to kill everyone and take all the water.
I can promise you, sir, the Rippers will only be a minor setback. Once I take care of them, that final crack of land will be ours.
This crack of land, Captain.
Huh.
Well, just a small crack. Doesn't matter, we'll let that go.
Oh, my. Now look what's happened. We lost the Fate of Planes. And the Tennelson Ridge. And so on!
There are 3 million liters of water underneath the Blue Dunes. And you will retrieve it. Do I make myself clear, gentlemen?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Good!
It was almost like, I mean, maybe I fell asleep or something, but he, like, disappeared for a while, I thought. Maybe he was like, I felt like he was, like, in the beginning and the end. And I'm like, where did he go in the middle?
He got blown up somehow. And I was also kind of confused during this part, too, right? Because she... when they're, like, escaping or something, somebody gets blown up and she walks over and she's, like, stepping on them. And, like, it's an,
like,
arm.
Like a severed
or
arm. Some,
yeah, and she's like, where's the rest of your body? I'm like, who the hell is that? Just a
Again,
random
scene missing.
Person? I think that's his arm, because then it cuts to a sort of Darth Vader-esque kind of thing where he's being put back together with,
yeah,
I can only film on this movie for 2 days. You got me for 2 days.
Yeah. Which, it was nice to see that guy. What's his name again?
Malcolm McDowell?
No, the Asian guy who's in a lot of, he's in like...
Oh, James Hong.
Yeah, yeah.
He shows up, he's the cyber, yes, guy who like gives him the robot arm.
Yeah.
And evidently, this comes later, a holographic head, I guess, which is just like, did they take his head off? Like, that was confusing.
Yeah.
It was weird because it kept cutting to the comic during that scene, and he didn't have the holographic head. It was, yeah, like his head melting off or something like,
which,
that.
Which gets into what you were saying, Ryan. It's just like, I think they were trying to salvage some stuff. Maybe they intended for him to have a head, but they couldn't bring Malcolm. Who knows what happened?
There was something weird there where it was like they kept cutting, yeah, to this comic of her like melting his face off, because it was like, so she had like a... she like not, and he's like, she's shooting him with the tank, and he keeps like deflecting the shots with his like his metal
his
hand, and then eventually she like shoots like a bucket of water or something that like gets on him, and that's like short circuits him.
No, that's not what happens. Okay, what? So spoiler
she
alert.
She shoots beer at him.
Oh, this beer. This was the blatant Surf Ninjas ripoff. Is, oh, that his maybe she shoots water at him or whatever, and his arm gets, like,
oh, there's a weird arm too. Leslie Nielsen
to something and short circuit, just like Leslie Nielsen in Surf Ninjas. So again, blatant Surf Ninjas.
Leslie Nielsen is in Surf Ninjas.
He's like the bad guy in
that.
He's
the bad guy.
Really,
Dave? You need to rewatch this. That movie is great.
Moto Surf. I actually have it on. I got it as a present on DVD. I think from our old buddy Eric from the Portal. And and I don't think I have unwrapped it. I think I still have it sealed in the...
That's really,
you might have,
sad,
to watch that in the future.
It's, yeah, so good.
I know that's one where we know the trailer is better than anything, I think. Like, I know like the trailer better than my own pets' names, basically. The Surf Ninjas trailer.
Well, let's get back to the synopsis. Yeah. Let's try to somewhat explain this movie. So as I mentioned, the year is 2033. There's been no rain for 20 years. And Tank Girl, well, I should just say girl. Now, she's not Tank Girl yet at the beginning of this movie. She doesn't become Tank Girl until like 60% through this
movie. I'm pretty sure she's just Elizabeth Tank Girl. Tank Elizabeth Girl, I think is her.
So Tank Elizabeth Girl, she's kind of going along. She's got like an ox or something. She's just like run, you know, she's Mad Maxie. She's going around the sand dunes.
They live like in like the Little Rascals clubhouse or something like that.
Yes, it felt very Little Rascals. There's like this clubhouse in the middle of the sand dunes. She's been on out in the dunes trying to find a gift for her boyfriend. She comes in. They do this little weird foreplay.
That was weird.
She busts in with a gun, holds him at gunpoint, and says, "Strip." And then, you know, it's that big misdirect where it's like, you know, he's naked now. And then a kid comes in.
Yeah, the kids come in. They're like, they're doing weird stuff. I was like,
they're doing weird sex stuff again. I'm like, oh, this is weird. This, I guess that's
it. It's like, you know, those kids are right. This movie's doing some weird stuff.
And we don't know if those are their kids, her kids, his kids, found kids.
We don't know.
I figured they're just like, they're all like the Lost Boys or something like that, I guess.
I think you nailed it. They're the Little Rascals. That's more the energy they have. They're the Little Rascals, and they're secretly like...
Tank Girl's a grown-up Little Rascal? Is that what you're... Like, you know,
yeah, they're like secretly
froggy,
siphoning
spanky Tank Girl.
Well, I feel like didn't one of the Little Rascals have like goggles or something that they wore?
Yeah, probably.
That was young Tank Girl. Tank Elizabeth Girl. Anyway, they're in this club. They're in their Little Rascals clubhouse in the middle of the sand dunes, and they're siphoning water, which is a big no-no because water power holds control of all the water in the world.
It's just kind of funny because it's kind of scary, and I kind of like, I think that's the some roots of like interesting, fun, kind of post-apocalyptic cartoon ideas is that like water and power is like gonna kill you, like SWAT team that's gonna like shoot you, which is like kind of like I think scary and can be like a fun kind of thing, you know, the idea for this movie, I think, you know, and it's pretty crazy when they come flying in, they're just like shooting people up, and there's a and they're like, you using water.
Well, there's also a little boy, and I think we're supposed to be led to believe that they shoot him. I think that guy's dead.
They kill everybody. Yeah, they
except kill everybody. Except the little girl.
Except the little girl. And they kidnap her, but it's so weird because there's so many things in this movie, and this pops up a lot in post-apocalyptic movies, but there is a lot of sex stuff in this movie where it's like strip or,
oh my gosh,
you know, she like there's so much, like there's a scene after they capture, so Tank Girl manages to kill some of these guys, but they overpower her, they take her back to water power, and on the way they're in like the ship or whatever, the jet, like she starts, you know, she's trying to like egg these guys on, and this guy stands up and unzips his pants, like there's about to be a blowjob scene in this movie, and it's like, what?
I don't care. There was never a danger of a blowjob scene. No, even one of his buddies is like, she's just gonna bite it off. Like, they know exactly what they have on their hands.
A cut looks painful.
I like pain.
What else do you like?
Hot oil. Vacuum attachments.
Yeah.
Yep. Hey, which of you gorgeous guys would like an oil change,
Don't be stupid. She's gonna bite it off.
The moment I feel teeth, you feel lead. Oil? What are you waiting for?
I'm gonna need a microscope and tweezers. It's like a... You know, you're gonna have to stop this. You're really getting me hot.
But she ends up like getting her legs around his head, cracks his neck, and it's just... It's one of several scenes in this movie where characters are just like... You know, like, we're gonna do it, or come on, like, we're gonna have sex.
Yes.
It's uncomfortable.
Yes, it's incredibly...
I know this pops up a lot in post-apocalyptic movies, but it's like, in this movie, weirdly, like, I don't know, it's felt weird.
There's tones that are off in this a little bit, but because there's a weird, even before that, before the SWAT team, the power and water come in, she's like, there's one of them kind of sneaks up on her while she's like on guard, and there's like,
and she thinks it's her boyfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but there's like weird editing in that moment, but then there's a thing where she's like cutting her like her fishnets, what her fishnets off, her pantyhose basically. Yeah. But it's shot very weirdly though. I don't know.
It's like fading in. Like she's like, it's very sensual. She's cutting off this, that, and the other thing.
There are very strange sensual scenes in this. There was that one. There's the one where she's showering, and I'm just like,
oh my god,
this is not sexy.
So she gets taken to water power, and Malcolm McDowell's sort of interested with her, like, you seem to be some sort of tank girl. Maybe I could use you for my own gain. But she refuses, so she gets thrown in. She's a worker with everyone else, a slave, basically. And there's a scene after her day at work is done when she, quote-unquote, showers. She
with dirt,
hits this
right?
thing, and, I mean, like, dirt like falls dirt. All over her. And she's like sensually like rubbing it all on herself.
But
I'm just like,
fully
what is
dressed.
This?
There's a weird cut to a sign that says like, wear, take off your work clothes or something, but keep your underwear on or something like that.
I was like,
what the fuck does that mean? Keep your underwear on? Like, is this to be like, we don't want to show nudity totally in this type of thing? So it's have a sign that says that you can't
be
nude.
The suggestion was they want to keep all the clothes because it has sweat and they can mine the sweat, I suppose, for water.
But was that dirt? Was she showering?
It sounded like it was like dirt and she was going
to. What the hell it was?
I think it was supposed to be like dust or dirt kind of thing. And then there she was supposed to like spray it off her with like a high pressure, like, air, I think.
But aren't they already dirty? I don't understand.
I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know. It's weird because, like, I don't know.
I'm surprised there wasn't like saxophone music playing when she was like.
I think there might have been
something.
There was something.
Maybe there was a lot of weird. Even like I mean, I know they were like probably going for like this sort of mid-90s sort of MTV style like music thing,
Is fun. It felt MTV.
But like, it just had like. I don't know. It was overloaded a little bit where it was like, lyrics happening over like dialogue and stuff like that.
It was very strange.
Yeah. The hard thing about the movie is that I think there's some great, cool ideas and I love the imagery of these comics, but I just think it's just a ramshackled feeling movie, you know, like, which is just a bummer. Yeah. And maybe it's a post thing, you know, maybe they shot something cool.
I think if you watch it multiple times, it would be one of those that you kind of develop a soft spot for and start to like, and kind of talk with your buddies about and stuff like that. That's kind of the vibe that I get from this movie. Is upon first watch, you're just sort of like, I don't know, man. But the more you watch it, the more I bet it just kind of becomes like, this is really fun.
I bet you if you were someone that had the VHS of like this, and you someone that grew up with this movie, you probably would. It'd be like a, hook or something, for
this
something.
This movie felt very akin to something like the original Super Mario Brothers movie.
Which
like very
it does.
Chaotic production,
but for some reason that one now revisiting it, you're like, oh wow, this movie's like kind of works in a weird way. You know what I mean?
So you need to rewatch Tank Girl, and eventually you'll like it, is what you're saying?
Maybe, because I liked Mario Brothers movie when I first saw it, and then for a while, then later when I got older, like, that kind of is weird. And then I revisited it around when the cartoon came out, the recent one. I'm like, I think I like this one more than the cartoon. Yeah.
If it became a thing like other bad movies where it was like, oh guys, let's all get together and watch Tank Girl or whatever, I bet it would really hit.
I don't know if there's enough to like make it kind of, it just feels like weird. Like it's sort of gross and strange, especially when these kangaroo men kind of show up and there's one part where she says like, I brought condoms and starts humping Naomi Watts or something like that. Do you remember that?
It's very strange.
Yes, I do remember that.
She's like, don't worry, I brought condoms. And it's like they're like dancing in a bowling alley.
Yeah.
There's a few dance numbers in this movie. The first one, that's the one I wanted to get to. Like that was the point.
She showers and Malcolm McDowell takes her because they're having problems with the Ripper. And I actually had to go back to the beginning and re-listen because I thought for some reason they said the Rippers work for Power and Water, but they don't. The Rippers are kind of a force that are working against Power and Water, like the Rebellion in Star Wars. They like hit shipments and warehouses and things like that of Power and Water.
They're fucking things up, and Malcolm McDowell tells this guy, he's like, you gotta kill them! Wait a minute, I got an idea. We'll use this tank girl to infiltrate. Because one of the big things is they can't find where the Rippers are. There's, like, weird sinkhole things, entryways into the Rippers' underground bowling alley, I guess, is what we find out is where they're hiding out. So they, this is what's so weird, though. Like, so you'd think Malcolm McDowell's like, all right, tank girl, you and some men go and find it. But he goes with her, for some reason, out into the dunes. Like, I don't know why Malcolm McDowell goes out there, especially when there's this danger of the Rippers coming and messing everything up. And, of course, that's what they do.
Malcolm McDowell is also, he's insane, but he's more of, like, a control. He's one of those, he's like Negan from The Walking Dead. And I really don't like bad guys like this because I think that they're, in my opinion, they don't work and they're sloppy. One of these guys who's, like, insane, just a certifiable psychopath.
He likes to walk on broken glass.
But they have this, I have my code, and I have da-da-da-da-da-da-da, because he is like, in, you know, they think that they're so much smarter than they actually are, and they're, oh, I'm a cerebral bad guy or whatever. They just annoy me, because he's like, makes the guy take his shoes off and walk toward him, and he's like, if I were you, glass. I would never have done that and walked across broken glass. I would have killed me right away. Da, 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 da. I'm just like, come on, man. Because you're Malcolm McDowell, like, there's a lot of charisma behind you, but...
Yeah, I didn't think he was a very good bad guy. No. I usually like Malcolm McDowell. He usually has the juice, but in this movie...
He wheezes the juice.
He literally wheezes the juice. Admittedly, I thought one of the funnier aspects of the movie is whenever he, like, punctures someone in the back with what looks like a plastic bottle, it sucks up the water from their body. And I love how the bottle, like, slowly expands. It just becomes a big water bottle.
I thought that was a really, really neat. I mean, it was absolutely... disgusting and bracing, but you know, it's kind of supposed to be that way. I thought that was one of the things that really, really worked. I thought that was interesting.
And you see the guy's body get sucked up.
Yeah, we've never seen anything like that I can think of in a post-apocalyptic movie.
Yeah, it feels cool. Like something that'd be in the Fury Road or something, maybe, you know?
But it's not.
You hate Fury Road because it's dirty, right?
I hate Fury Road because
you don't like Fury Road either.
It's hopeless.
Why'd you get Jan on this one when she hates these movies that these all feel like they came from?
I think I actually probably like this movie the most on the podcast right now. Because
this whole series has been one sausage fest after another. That's why.
Nothing like getting a bunch of men to talk about female movies, Dave.
This one, I think I was trying to figure out. I mean, I guess Josie and the Pussycats had a female director, but With Your Future is female. I think this is the only solo female directed of these female superhero movies. Yeah,
directed by Rachel Talalay. Her big thing before this, she was heavily involved in the Nightmare on Elm Street movies with New Line. Like, that was kind of her big thing. A few years before this, she had directed Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare.
Was that the last one before the Wes Craven thing? I don't think I watched that
sixth one.
Tank Girl's not very super. Her superpower seems to just be insanity.
It's very much. I mean, when did Batman animated series Harley Quinn come out? Basically,
that was a few years before this. That was 92.
But I guess the character though, Tank Girl, was. Before, because it looks like it appeared in 89 in a comic book.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so maybe she kind of influenced Harley Quinn a little bit.
The influences are definitely there.
And it says in the Chatterpedia, maybe this is not true. Maybe we should look up a real reference, but that like Margot Robbie picked. Why do you think she picked up this for her and her production company? Maybe to develop something for this. But it'd be surprising, like, if she played Tank Girl also as Harley Quinn. It's like the same thing, you know?
Same character.
Yeah. I'm gonna see. Margot Robbie, Tank Girl.
Here's a quick aside. Do you think a remake of this movie might work?
Yeah.
I think so. I mean, the thing is I do think that people would compare it to, they're like, oh, this is just, it'd be something a little different. They'd be like, this is too close to Harley Quinn or like the,
Well, you'd have to make Birds it a Prey little, movie. I think you'd have to make it a little bit grittier. Maybe kind of like a Mad Max Fury Road sort of thing. Maybe this is what Furiosa should have been. I didn't see Furiosa, but like,
yeah, so I'm not saying it was bad. It is sort of Furiosa-y a little bit, but like maybe like a cartoony version of Furiosa. It's totally that for sure. Yeah, that's so maybe there's been too much already. That's like too close to it.
Too many female.
I could see because this is like it's Harley Quinn. It's Mad Max. It's I don't know what. Like it does take a lot of.
It's also like Ninja Turtles. I think that's like the the triangle of what this movie is a little bit, because it has a Stan Winston puppets. I guess apparently he took half his quote to fit the budget for this type of thing. Because
really,
would have been like freaking. Jurassic Park era, Stan Winston,
for the really liked the look of the kangaroo people. Maybe I'm weird like that. It would be nice to get
they look good.
It'd be nice to get our resident expert portal friend Eric on this one. But
tails up. Did you think they look good?
Nah, I'm gonna say no.
This is not a podcast, but my tail is up.
My tail went up.
My tail is down, I think, for that.
Because I think that they still had features, unique features.
And their faces were very expressive, too.
Expressive. It was kind of hard to tell. In the beginning, I thought maybe some of them were supposed to be dingoes, but apparently they're all kangaroos. Which is why, and then you have, what's her face? She has a very thick Australian. Naomi Watts has a very thick Australian accent in this, and so I was like, is this an Australian comic book?
I think it's supposed to take place in Australia, but it apparently was shot in near Tucson, a lot of it.
Yeah, Tucson.
Oh, interesting.
But it's funny looking at her career, because she was just in Australian things, and then this, and then it went back to basically Australian stuff until Mulholland Drive, basically.
That was her big break.
Yeah, it's like
David Lynch.
Just through the 90s, she was just floating around, basically. Yeah. But she's Jet. I mean, I'm all about Jet Girl. Don't get me wrong. She's Jet Girl. And apparently, did I miss it? There's Sub Girls in this? Apparently, Bjork was supposed to play Sub Girl or something.
Bjork had a song on the soundtrack. I saw that. Her name was in the credits, Bjork. I could see Bjork being in a movie like this.
Yeah. Well, So Malcolm McDowell takes her out there to help him get the Rippers. What happens?
They get ambushed by the Rippers, and then Malcolm McDowell gets his arm severed. He somehow survives. They take him back.
And
James Hong.
His head severed.
David Lopan himself gives Malcolm McDowell a robot arm. But we don't see him again until the end of the movie, basically.
Right. And then, so she and Jet Girl kind of go off on their own, and that's where she beats her up, which I was like, okay, now you've lost me again. This is just violence
in a cartoon
for violence
sequence.
Sake.
Again, scene missing.
It's sick. And then, kind of a very unnecessary scene, in my opinion, was they kind of stumble into this junk warehouse or whatever, this lady's junk house. And she sees the wood carving. This is how she finds out the girl is still alive. She sees the wood carving that the girl made for her. And the junk girl.
Where is she?
Yeah.
Oh, she's in the sex palace.
Yeah,
the
junk
liquid
girl's
dungeon,
like, oh, they took her to the sex
palace.
I'm just like, this is unnecessary. I don't know
liquid
if
silver.
Trying to do some world building or what with this, but she could have found out in a different, more succinct way that the girl was still alive when they were hiding her. It was just kind of a waste of 10 minutes.
Well, this whole sequence, so she finds out where her friend is, the little girl. It's called Liquid Silver. It's essentially, this is so bizarre. I think it's kind of bad world building, because I don't know where things are in relation to each other.
True.
Yeah. What the status quo of the world is.
Because you don't see them traveling a lot.
You don't get it the
place.
In-between.
Yeah.
They're just there at Liquid Silver, and from the outside, it just looks like this crappy place, and they go inside, and it's like this huge, luxurious place. It seems like the elite live here, the rich live here of the world. And it's just like this sex palace, and it's such where it's like, we can give you anything you want, no matter how perverted. And they're gonna take Tank Girl's friend and
she's
put
10.
Her in like a schoolgirl outfit 10. Or something. It's really gross. She's 10 years old, yes. And Tank Girl figures it out, and she saves the kid, not before having this crazy makeover sequence where there's like this holographic person
totally
telling
unnecessary.
It's just bizarre.
I did not care for that.
But, well, here's the weird thing, and this was the most mind-boggling scene in the movie. She gets the girl, they're about to get out of there, and then someone, you know, in a general movie fashion is like, hey, points, stop them, you know. But there's no tension because she's just like, Tank Girl just like grabs the lady, you know, who we don't know who this lady is. It seems like she's someone important. She's
the madame or something.
She's the madame of this place. You think she's going to come back later or something, but she doesn't at all. There's no introduction to her. She seems like a big character, but she's not. She has this, she holds her at gunpoint, threatens her by clipping off her hair, and then tells her to start singing a Cole Porter song. And it just becomes this big dance number where everyone's dancing. And meanwhile, Water Power comes in and just takes the girl away again while they're dancing. And it's just like, this is your fault, Tank Girl.
This was another scene that I was completely lost.
I was like, what is happening right now? And then suddenly, like, again, the weird disconnectedness of this world. Like, one of the Water Power guys who... It looks as if he's somewhere completely different. He starts hearing the song somehow, and he's like, hey, turn that crap off. And then Water Power comes and raids it, and that's it. And the kid gets captured again. And it's like this big moment where Tank Girl's like, no! And I'm like, this is so your fault. You decided to have an impromptu dance number for no reason.
And it just literally comes out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
So
and it, and strange. It's this big performance on a big stage with like 50 people. And I'm just like, I'm like, how did they pitch this successfully? This is such a bizarre thing where I'm like, can they... you could have spent that money elsewhere and made the story make a little more sense.
There's got to be other movies where they have weird dance musical breaks in between, right? There has to be some.
I hated it. It was like my
I
least...
I disliked it very much.
I really hated it.
Yeah, I was very off-put by a lot of this.
Yeah.
And I usually love shit like this. I don't know. I thought I was gonna really get into this movie, but it put me off. It was weird. Yeah.
I mean, like,
I wonder if it's because, again, you know, we all watched it in the theater together in the store, but we, you know, we had a lot of seats in between us, and some of us paused our screens and did other things while other people were continuing to watch.
I'm almost beat Mario Wonder. I'm pretty close to being that. You know?
You had to switch your plane.
Maybe if there was a cohesive, like, we're going to make an event out of watching this all together, you know, it's a bizarre movie and kind of laugh at it sort of thing, I bet it would go down a lot smoother.
Well, they had to do so little to make this make sense. Like, they could have been like, oh, we'll have to infiltrate this big dance number. They're going to have, like, a big dance number for all the sickos, the sick, rich sickos. Like, we'll infiltrate this dance number, and then, you know, that's how we'll get into the place. Like, they could have done anything to make it make sense, but they didn't. It literally just happens. It's like, and here's a dance number for no reason.
For no reason, literally. Which is another reason why I was like, is this maybe an Australian movie? Is this Australian?
Because they're weirdos down there, you know what I'm saying?
Maybe it's my more American, like, linear movie sort of thing. Maybe this is an Australian thing where they just have weird dance breaks in the middle. Well,
don't like Bollywood movies, that like every yeah. Bollywood movie has like a big dance number out
That's
of nowhere?
A good point. That's a good comparison.
I thought Bollywood videos were a lot of different dance breaks. I've never seen a Bollywood movie.
You ever saw RRR?
No, I know. I need to. I want to. I'd like to. But
Jana, I could see you breaking out into fits of tears watching that movie. Cause I could see you attaching so strongly to those characters.
Yeah, maybe that will get... But the thing is, that movie's chaotic, though, you know? It's a chaotic...
You think it's a long one, too.
I think I know that would be chaotic. This one, I had no idea. Scott Pilgrim, again, I had no idea that it was going to be that way. But because we do have an idea of what a Bollywood movie sort of is in the zeitgeist, it's like, okay, yeah, this is going to be high energy, dancing, singing, you know. I've seen a couple of clips from Bollywood movies and stuff like that, so I'm not completely unfamiliar, but...
It just didn't feel organic. It just happened out of nowhere and just was weird.
Yes.
I didn't like it.
Like, I don't know. Like, reading the description of, like, the Tank, this is it is a British comic, so you're right. This is, they're fucking weird, these people.
Everyone else is weird?
Oh my gosh! You know what? Actually, what about Clockwork Orange? He does do weird musical. There's a weird musical thing in that where he's beating up the homeless guy and singing and stuff. So maybe
singing in the rain.
I mean, it's not a
There's something sinister about that, though.
But yeah.
I just love the description of this, where I'm like, of course, this is Tank Girl. It's amazing. But this movie just doesn't really set me in this world where it says Tank Girl. Rebecca Buck, later revealed to be known as Fonzie Rebecca Buckler, drives a tank, which is also her home. And I'm like, great. Sounds good. I'm like, I'm in, you know? she undertakes a series of missions for nebulous organizations, her boyfriend, Booga, the mutant kangaroo, like, yes, I'm in. And just everything, but in this movie, I was just off-put by it.
Her and Booga together.
It seemed like, there's your movie. Like, she's a soldier for hire, and she doesn't care whose side she takes, whatever. But then over the course of the movie, she's like, oh, wait, I do got to take a side. Like, that could be the more traditional way this movie could have gone, but...
I don't know.
Well,
yeah.
She took the side against water and power, more out of revenge in this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I liked her and Booga. I thought they were. I.
You stand. Are you? What's the term? What the hell they call it? Shipping them. You ship them.
Yes, I think they were great. I think they were great together. Especially when it turned into the comic book form of them. I really like that.
Oh yeah, at the end, I liked it when it became animated.
Kangaroo drawing.
When they got to the end of the movie before the credits, it cuts to like full on animation. The other stuff is just not even animated. It's just like stills, with like camera flying over it, which I hate. Yeah, animated. I was like, oh, this is great. Like, this looks amazing and really cool.
So there you go. Maybe this would have been better as an animated movie.
Maybe.
I think so.
They started animating these guys, the gorillas, before me. Then they became famous. Like, this is probably his most famous thing. Is the
Don't stop. Get it. We are your captains.
Well, let's get to the Rippers. Like, we're talking about them. So after the big dance number, they steal the girl away again. Tank Girl and Jet Girl, played by Naomi Watts. We should mention this. Jet Girl is someone that Tank Girl meets, like, in the water power plant, like,
because somebody is trying to sexually assault her, too.
She's trying to get sexually assaulted, too. Everyone's getting sexually assaulted.
And then,
in
a way, Tank Girl sexually assaults her to get her out from being sexually assaulted by the
guy.
If it's to save you from a worser one,
that's true. It's a little bit better. But then, she says something like, "What is she?" But she kind of says like,
"This is my girlfriend."
Yeah. And then she says something to undercut it later. Naomi, what's the difference? What is the line? I forgot. But it's something kind of like she likes it. She's like, you know. Hopes that it's not just a pretending to be your girlfriend. I want to be your girlfriend.
Naomi Watts?
Tank Girl. Oh. I feel it. There's a moment. I
was
kind of
waiting for them to, like, are they going to, like, are they a thing? Like,
no.
Well, so Jet Girl is kind of the nerdy. She's
like a mechanic.
She makes things, and so another kangaroo is kind of interested in her because he also makes things. I don't remember which kangaroo that is. But, I mean, it must be said that Naomi Watts has the most glorious 90s hair in this movie. It's amazing.
She was a robo-babe, as we say on the show. I thought she was very attractive in this movie.
Well, that's a real hot take, Dave.
I don't think I've ever seen her with black hair before, though.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Because she's usually like rocking the blonde hair.
She could have played Baby Tank Girl, you know.
Anyway, what? So they Tank Girl's bummed.
She could have maybe took been Tank Girl. Yeah, Baby Tank. Oh, that's what they should do. That's what Margot Robbie should do is Baby Tank Girl.
She probably would have been a more even keeled Tank Girl, because Tank Girl has very strange hair. I mean, it's kind of weird. Post-apocalyptic sort of hair.
It's like some of it shaved, but then I was thinking of the Phantom Menace a lot watching this movie. If you remember in Phantom Menace, Natalie Portman has like a costume change in every single scene.
Yeah.
Like if it's a new scene, she's in a different costume, like a big new thing. It was the same thing with this, only with Tank Girl's hair. Like, her hair was stylized in a different way in each scene in increasingly crazy ways.
Yeah, it was very hard to peg down what her actual fucking hair is. Because at one point, it's almost like a Friar Tuck, but with kind of long braided pieces.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she's not shaved at the top in some sort. Maybe she pulls it forward and kind of like
I was waiting for a mohawk. I'm shocked a mohawk didn't make an appearance.
I mean, I think Lori Petty, surprisingly, going from frickin', I know her so well from A League of Their Own. Go, yeah. Ryan has a picture of it on screen right now.
These all look cool. Like, all this shit, like, I'm like, this all looks amazing in print.
She looks rad as hell. You would never, I mean, going from A League of Their Own to this, but Lori Petty really pulls it off. And I watched A League of Their Own way more than I've seen.
Baseball?
No, what's that other movie said she was in, the surfing one?
Point Break.
Yeah, Point Break. I just saw that recently. Did not like it. So wow. I know
what?
I know her mostly from A League of Their Own. So to go from that to this, I was like, what the fuck? But she does so good.
She's also in a little movie. I think it might have been around this time, called In the Army Now with Mr. Pauly Shore.
Oh, yeah, my guy. Your favorite boy.
To bring it back to the weasel.
The weasel, baby.
I can't remember anything.
Okay, so should Pauly Shore have been in this movie?
He would have fit right
in. He
could
have been one of the kangaroo guys.
Yeah, he could have been one of the kangaroo guys for sure. For sure.
He would have been comic relief as the weasel. He would have been the weasel. He would have been a weasel. For real.
The weasel.
What's up, Tank Girl?
Well, okay, like... So maybe that should be a new thing for us. Would the movie be better if the weasel was in it?
I don't know. I think this movie was already weird enough on its own.
I think it could have used a little bit of the weasel.
Yeah. Use the weasel. If he wouldn't have made it more weird, surprising, he probably would have made it more normal. Because that's something we could have grabbed onto. That's something we could have latched onto. We could have been like, okay, I know who Pauly Shore is and supposed to be like this. I understand.
I like this pick. It's a good pick. I thought this
look at that glorious 90s hair. Oh my god, I love it.
This is Jet Girl on the from.
And
the
she's
comic.
Wearing a Playboy Bunny shirt. Which, fun fact, I had a Playboy Bunny wallet. So definitely,
wow.
90s and early 2000s Playboy Bunny fashion for women was very. It was something for some reason.
I mean, that's something I feel like if people, this is played in retrospects today, it's like probably like, you know, the costume design and things like that people would probably latch on to, you know. I think I think I don't necessarily love the set design, production design a lot, but I think the costuming is still fun and pretty good.
Costuming is good. So then they get taken to the Ripper's hideout thing.
Which is in a bowling alley under the sand dunes somehow.
But they keep them in like a little area, like a little room.
They keep them in a room, and they're not convinced that they aren't just spies for water power. So it's like, all right, there's a convoy coming in. Steal the convoy. Maybe we'll Ice-T is very suspicious. He's the one that's like, I don't trust these guys. Let's just kill them.
But doesn't she get one of the kangaroos to come in and let them out by... seducing him or something like that. Again, we come back to the sex stuff.
It keeps copping up, yeah. But anyway, they somehow convince them to send them on this mission to prove that they're on their side, that they're not with water and power. And I honestly, this sequence with the convoy and she's, you know, we get to see the full capabilities of her tank that apparently is controlled by remote control and voice control. Like, she talks to her tank and it like responds. Like,
I love that.
I think they could have played that up a bit more, because there are some scenes where the tank literally like shakes its thing.
I think
like,
that's so fun. That's like, I wish
that
there was more
of
that.
Fun stuff. And that's when the movie started to come together a little bit for me, because this was actually kind of a fun sequence. She's like bouncing around this thing like a cartoon character. She's got like a recliner, like a lazy boy on top of this tank. Like, she's shooting things up. There's a moment when she like straddles the barrel of the tank and she like points it right into the cab of this semi truck. She's like, "Hey, boys!" You know, I'm like,
feeling
that's
feeling inadequate
stuff.
Or something. I do like,
yeah,
her
feeling
quips.
Inadequate.
I
boys.
Think her quips hit. I think Tank Girl's quips really hit.
Yeah, I think I really think it has to do with maybe just like editing or something. It's all falling flat for me, even though it's like there. It's on.
I mean,
the
you would know
paper.
More about the editing.
Well, not even
here's one of her quips.
Yeah.
Locked in a meat freezer wearing nothing but a straitjacket. It's really hard for me to play with myself in this thing.
Yeah, that's funny.
You got to think about it like the first time you got laid. You just got to say, Daddy, are you sure this is right?
Oh, my God.
That day, I was like, oh, my
Jesus.
I really think that she is funny and her quips hit.
Yeah, it's just something. I don't know. Yeah, you're right. It just was. It's probably just a few years ahead of its time, really.
Yeah.
Where I think it would have been like, it would have felt like more, it needed more like poses and things, you know, just like, I don't know, like just like imagery, like that kind of like pops, you know, like, something like flat about it. Yeah.
Literally replace Tank Girl with Harley Quinn. This would have been.
Well, you could argue we kind of got this movie later with that Birds of Prey or the Fantabulous Emancipation of Harley Quinn or whatever the hell that name of that movie was.
What the hell
the
is
Margot
it?
The Margot Robbie Harley Quinn movie.
Yeah, I didn't see it. Yeah, Birds of Prey and the Fabulous Emancipation of Harley Quinn.
Yeah. Like which that movie felt like weird and like, you know.
Yeah, and there's good. I think, I don't think that movie's perfect, but it has like those moments I think this movie is like. It needs like it has like the kind of iconic just like imagery of like just like slowing down at some points and speeding up, and this movie just doesn't quite have like the sometimes it's just so chaotic and so random.
It's just too all over.
There's nowhere for you to kind of grasp.
Is that what cinematography is?
Well, no, it's like the look of the movie, really, or like the lighting and the camera placement is cinematography usually.
Yeah, this movie did feel like. This felt like someone watched Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the first movie, and they looked inside, again, like sort of the Little Rascals like area where Shredder entertains all of his troops or whatever, his teenage troops, and they're like, make the whole movie look like that, like where it's very junky looking. There's trash everywhere.
Are you talking about when he's introducing that new guy and they're walking through, and he's like, you got any cigarettes, regular or menthol?
Maybe it was just the vibe. I don't know. But I think you guys nailed on something. This is like a post-apocalyptic Little Rascals.
Because slash Harley Quinn.
Slash Harley Quinn.
Like the Harley Quinn movie has like that big, like a big dance number, doesn't it? And there's like a part where it kind of turns into like a big old school play, or not play, but musical number, I think, where she's like,
does.
I think she's imagining it, and there's like, she's like fighting people off when this is happening and stuff. It's like, what's in her brain? Is this
that
she,
might
this
have
going
been
on?
In the second? Oh, it kind of sounds familiar. It might have been in the second Suicide Squad, because I didn't see the Harley Quinn movie, but I saw the second Suicide Squad.
Let me see. Like, dance.
I think maybe maybe it was Suicide Squad. I don't know. Those movies blur together for me.
Okay, so they pull off the heist and they go back to the thing. And I I thought this part was really cool because it's a bunch of guns. And so they're like, all right, here, now we have all these guns. And then they're like, destroy them. And Tank Girl and Jack Girl are like, wait, what? And they're like, yeah. Mr. Prophet, who we haven't talked about, he's kind of like the philosopher, guru, leader of the Rippers. Mr. Prophet, or Dr. Prophet, taught us how to fight without the...
He taught us how to rip arms off.
Influence of guns or something like that. And so then they do this like kind of rain dance sort of thing, which is really cool. I really liked that part. Like, this is... Let's do a movie about the Rippers. And then they do the girls go out onto the dance floor to dance with them, and they start humping and stuff, which I didn't care super much for. But that's kind of when Tank Girl and Booga start their romance, which I did like. I ship them.
Yeah, they that was strange, that dance thing. I was like, oh, the thing is, you're right that those things look pretty good, but I was just so off-putted by it. I was just like, they're so gross, and these kangaroo men, you know. I just couldn't take it. I was just grossed out by it. This movie, that's how I felt. I just felt, I got the chills.
I wonder if there were ladies.
Ryan is shaking right now.
If there were lady kangaroo people, I wonder how you guys would have felt.
Well, the thing is It's sort of true with, like, me seeing that VHS cover my whole life and being like, that movie's, like, for adults or something.
Yeah.
It's kind of true. Like, I was right. Like, this movie, and I didn't never saw a frame of this movie, just that poster or that VHS cover. And I was both intrigued and creeped out by it both ways.
So. All right, Dave, do you want to, like, take the synopsis away?
Well, and then, you know, later on they find that their leader has been killed by Malcolm McDowell. They think he's shipping weapons, but then they find another shipment. And like, oh no, he's not shipping weapons. They've killed, like,
Dr. Prophet.
Dr. Prophet. Oh, we got to get him. And then we find out later that this whole time Malcolm McDowell has implanted, like, listening devices in Tank Girl. So he's known what's been going on this whole time. But ultimately it doesn't matter because, like, the Rippers come, they assault Water Power and kill a bunch of people anyway. It's like, what was his plan? What was Malcolm McDowell's plan? I'll have them come here, kill most of my men, and then hopefully I'll kill her. It's foolproof.
I don't know. And so they come to find out, so there's this pipe tank torture device thing that he had.
That was so weird. It seemed as he says it's a pipe that goes slightly at a, it's like diagonal, and it goes 40 meters. And initially when he's explaining this, it gets smaller as it goes. And initially as he was explaining this, I'm like, does it just like deposit anywhere? No, it's just a pipe that goes down, it ends, it gets smaller, and I guess he uses it as a torture chamber. Like, he'll put people down there, he'll slide them down there, and then he'll just slowly put water down there to
he didn't do
them.
That with Tank Girl, though. He's like, I hope you're not claustrophobic. So I guess it's like a claustrophobic thing. But then with the girl, he slowly adds water to drown her.
Well, it's just, again, it's so bizarre when you think about it. Because practically, it's like, so he built a giant pipe, a 40-meter pipe, whose sole purpose is to just be a weird torture chamber thing?
Yeah, it's very
weird. I guess. It's very weird. This movie's bizarre.
So then she... Tank Girl hears the little girl, like, come save me. Well, it turns out it's Malcolm McDowell because his weird non-head.
An upgrade.
Can mimic her voice. And so then
comes out of nowhere.
I sort of blacked out at this part. I'm not sure how she kills him. How does she kill him?
She, like, dumps water on him and then... Oh, she takes his little water bottle water sucker thing. She sticks him in the heart
with
it.
That's right.
And it sucks all the water out of him.
It sucks all the water out of him. So the tides have turned on Malcolm McDowell. Does she drink his water?
I don't think so.
I can't remember.
Someone should be.
It's really weird. Like, I had a question. Like, so we see... So after Malcolm McDowell, we don't see this part, but he, in scene missing, he gets his arm severed by the Rippers. He gets brought back to Water Power. And James Hong, David Lopan, gives him a robot arm. And he also has, like, this weird face mask on. And you're not sure what the state of his face is, Malcolm McDowell. Like, you see that and you're like, right. Okay, so clearly he still has a head of some kind. He's able to move it and talk. But at some point, James Hong, I guess, cuts his head off and replaces it with a hologram?
I guess.
Very strange.
Maybe like a million.
That came out of nowhere. Again, scene missing.
Because then when we see Malcolm McDowell again, he's got a normal head. And I was like, what the fuck happened to his face, though? Because obviously something happened to his face because he was wearing
a mask.
Well,
it was a hologram.
And then we find out that it's a hologram.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was kind of confusing to the audience because yes. Like,
yeah, cool.
Thought something happened
in his face. It's a hologram. What does that make?
Well, it's just like, well, which made me think, like, okay, because I don't think a person can. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a medical expert, but I'm pretty sure you can't survive without your head attached to your body.
Well, that's why they use. What's his name? Lopan?
There is kangaroo men this day, this movie.
Well, no, but what I'm saying is, I thought there was going to be a scene where his head was, like, in a jar or something. Or there's, like, you know what I mean?
His head is driving a bigger tank or something.
Yes, or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, he's controlling his body from outside of his body. That's what I figured was going to happen. But it doesn't.
Yeah, it doesn't make any difference. It's weird.
He lost a face. And then they decided to just chop the whole head off and then give him a fake head, I guess, was the logic there.
Anyway.
So then
but she
rescues,
defeats him.
She rescues the girl, kills him by drinking
and then
water.
She has sex with the kangaroo man.
I drink your water. And then I don't know if she drinks the water. And then her and the booga go out into the sweet night together.
She straps on her rocket boobs bra thing, whatever that was, and it turns into an anime sequence where they have sex. She smokes a cigarette, as you do after you have sex, and then the movie just kind of ends.
Credits.
Very, very strange movie. Again, I guess I like it the most out of everyone on this podcast.
Well, you were literally, as we were watching, you were texting me like, whose idea was this? Like,
because
why are we watching this?
It's a weird movie. It is a very, I had never even fucking heard of it before. It is a strange ass movie.
Well, I was getting notifications from you like that. I was getting notifications like, Ryan is currently playing, like, you know, like Super Smash Brothers on Nintendo Switch.
Like, my
so
God.
We were all over the place. I was playing like Wonder, movie. Mario Wonder.
You really
Mario
rule Wonder, yeah. This plays with an iron fist, huh? You just keep track of everything that your underlings do.
I'm tracking all of you.
You know exactly how much water
you got a pretty
is
good
in
Malcolm
their body
McDowell.
In this exact moment.
Pretty good Malcolm McDowell, I would say.
Yeah, when he has you walking class across glass, he says, you fucking idiot. I would have never walked across glass.
If someone told me to watch Tank Girl, I don't think I would have.
I would have killed him right away.
Well, any final thoughts on Tank Girl, or should we get into recommendations or lack thereof?
I think the lasting impression for this movie, and I'm glad this exists because of this, just because of this stuff. Let me just show you this stuff I've been looking at.
You're
so,
literally only showing us, Ryan.
I know, but we can describe them. So these are the two original posters, which we have this, which is very, you know, this is sexual itself. It says tank plus girl.
There's arrows pointing to a tank.
And then arrows point to a girl and it says, she's coming March 1995. So it is. There's a big dick here and a woman. It's very, yeah.
Oh,
this was in theaters.
Oh, see, I didn't see the phallic symbology there like you did, right?
Well, I'm more familiar with the other poster, yeah. The fisheye lens one, where she's standing next to her tank and she's kind of like got her head cocked like this.
That's the one that was the VHS cover a lot.
Yeah.
Then we got like, this is a cool one, I thought. But this is actually a picture that was a comic that was based on the movie that they made. So it was like kind of drawn like the movie. And I'm like, this is the type of shit this movie needs. Like more cartoony, yeah. Like a Bugs Bunny kind of thing with the tanks and all this stuff. It says, Mom said there'd be days like this, Tank Girl, and it has a bunch of missiles and friggin' boxing gloves coming at her. I love that. I love this. And then
I cannot believe how similar, now that we've said it, this is her and Harley Quinn.
This little thing, whatever, this little ornament.
The Beetlejuice-looking ornament she had on
it's
the
It's very like
her tank.
Batman Returns looking or something
and
like that.
And that weird punching glove thing. They do that in
very
some of
Joker,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the Japanese version of this Tank Girl poster, which I'm like, I would have that. Like, I don't even like this movie, and I love this.
The
like,
poster
so
looks
much.
Exactly the same, except it's just in Japanese.
Yeah, I know, but it just looks so cool with it, I feel like. Such a cool vibe.
Wait, and what then, are those things in the sky?
I don't know.
Those are the flying ships.
They look like
jet things.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And then this one's the, I think this is the Australian and, like, English release thing.
It looks like she's getting shot out of the
which
the tank.
I like this one too, and this looks very Nickelodeon to me a little bit, like or like like a Nintendo Power magazine or something like that.
None of these look anything like Lori Petty.
They don't. It doesn't at all. No.
Period. They look like a Barbie doll.
Yeah, it looks like friggin' Margot Robbie, I think, you know, or something.
Well, it's because she's got like it looks like straight hair in these posters.
Even the face just looks nothing like Lori Petty.
It looks like Gwen Stefani.
Yeah,
it
I
looks
think it,
like
especially at the era too.
Just a stereotypical pinup doll version of Tank Girl.
But I love the looks of this stuff. This looks like a Nintendo Power magazine ad that would be for a video game. That like it'd be like get Game Boy Color. It comes in. Comes in yes. Green now, you know, or something
it's
like
extreme.
That. Yeah, and I'm like, I love it. So I don't know. This movie, I don't like that much at all. Like, but this stuff I love. I love this poster so much.
Would recommend watching it in like, hey, we're going to watch this crappy movie all together as a group of friends to kind of have fun and make fun of it. That is how I would recommend it. And I would definitely recommend it in that setting. Absolutely 100%.
I think I would recommend, we say this a lot on this show, but I would recommend this, put it on in like a barcade with the sound off, like on a TV, so people can look up and be like, what's that? You know what I mean? Like, it's not a movie that, like, this is a movie, like, again, like, visually it's interesting. Like, there's a lot of crazy costumes and crazy shit going on, but the story just isn't there. There's no narrative drive.
Dave is always trying to silence women. My God.
Watch the movie with the sound. Well, you know what? No, that's a disservice, because as you said, Lori Petty is, like, fun in the movie.
And her quips are amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I, you know what? I'll second your notion, Jana. Watch it with a bunch of friends. Like, dunk on it. Appreciate Lori Petty's performance, because she is, like, the original. Well, she's not the, she's the original live-action Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't... I'd love to have a cop, like a VHS of this, just to have on the shelf. I think that's like the best thing possible.
I'm never gonna watch it.
I don't think I'd want to watch this unless you're right. It would be playing on a cool bar, and most people would be like, "What is that?" And I don't even think it's visually as good looking as it should be, is the posters and everything like that. I don't even think it'd work for that, to be honest. I think, but. So it's unfortunate. It's not. I'd rather play out of our movies that we're playing. Barbarella is a lot bigger, more visual, stunning movie, I'd say, compared to this. Mm. But this is a bummer with this one. Because I wanted to love this one. I didn't hate this as much as, like, you know, what, Catwoman and how weird Supergirl got and stuff. But, like,
I'm just gonna say, we're not giving out our rankings yet. But Catwoman was one of the more enjoyable experiences of the summer so far.
What? For me.
I can't believe I'm saying it, but it was.
This is the Halle Berry cat girl.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a movie you could get together with a bunch of friends and dunk on.
So you this love is, that basketball scene, huh, Dave?
That is from another planet, so too. Yeah. This feels like, I appreciate the, like, ambition and what they tried with this. It wasn't quite, I don't think they're quite ready yet, you know?
Well, you mentioned ambition. I'm wondering what your thought...
Oh, wait, we have to touch upon the cast. We haven't talked... The cast was, for what it is, the cast was fairly impressive. It had Ice-T, Malcolm McDowell, Lori Petty, I keep forgetting, Naomi Watts. Booga was played
that
by
one
this,
guy.
That guy. He's like a character actor, Jeff Kober,
I guess.
Yeah, he's a character actor where you would definitely recognize his voice. He's in a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
he's from Buffy. He's been in a couple other things, but yeah. I mean, there was other people that I looked up. And I'm like, oh, that's
we gotta person. Talk about the cast. This person.
I did name just like six people, Dave. That's a lot. It wasn't a huge cast. I'm sure some of the kangaroo people.
Apparently, Iggy Pop was Rat Face. I don't remember.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, Dave, so you mentioned that one.
Before we started recording, Iggy Pop is in this. But.
I know. Yeah. Too bad. It's too bad.
Yeah, watch it. Watch it for the cast.
Speak for me, just because you're a man and I'm a woman, Dave.
A murderer's row.
I said, for what it is, it's actually a pretty good... Oh, Reggie Cathy? He was another one. He played one of the...
You're reaching now, Jana.
No, I'm not. You would absolutely recognize him if I showed you a picture of him. He's in Fantastic Four. He's in SWAT. He's in Mask. Airheads. He's a big name.
I'm wondering. I hope you'll join us for our final installment,
Jana.
This
guy, you guys know him.
Yeah, I know that guy. He was the poet of the Rippers.
Yeah,
he was also. He's been in a bunch of movies. You mentioned Fantastic Four. Yeah, he's in Fantastic Four. He's like the father of Reed Richards, Sue Storm, whatever. Anyway,
I'm trying to move this thing along
to the end here. When we return, we will be finally wrapping up this Summer Film Fest. Again, I apologize for the programming this year. I'll make it up to you all. But when we return, we will be watching something that Ryan has been looking forward to all summer long. Jana, I hope you'll join us for this one, because from what I understand, this is also a bonkers movie. When the Summer Film Fest concludes, we will be watching the much maligned Madam Web.
face frozen.
Jenna's face is frozen right now.
She has the most grit in her teeth. She's like smiling. I can't tell if she's smiling or if she wants to kill Dave.
With a real murderer's row, we got Dakota Johnson, Sydney Sweeney, and others.
Sam, how dare you? I was able to name like 6 or 7 people from freaking Tank Girl, man.
Adam Scott's in it.
What?
Emma Roberts. Who's the bad guy? There's a guy that's dubbed over.
If this isn't getting you pumped, audience, I don't know what will. We'll see you then. Until then, smell you later, butt smears, or whatever she says.
She does say butt smear. I'm just like, she's like, don't say butt smear. Say something else.
You know, I've never seen a peanut dick either.
Oh, yeah, she said went to her brother or whatever. She said nobody's ever seen your peanut dick. That's what she says, which is pretty good.
My Doris Day bust. I didn't trade you my specially autographed Doris picture just for whatever this is.
I know, but the wood talks to me. It said Ripper.
How would you know what one looks like? No one's ever seen Ripper.
No one's ever seen your peanut dick either.
I'm telling you.
Go ahead.
Rebecca, don't forget guard duty.
I mean, I've seen a peanut dick.
I mean, how could you... How could you guys not appreciate that line? And then there was that.
I appreciate it. So. It should be on the list.
There's that one from E.T. where he calls him something. It was called out in
Penis Breath.
Penis Breath, yeah. It was called out in Blank Check, not here, sorry.
Well, Tank Girl was nothing like that, Penis Breath.
Yeah, this movie's a lot like E.T. It should be up there. Just as good in quality, too.
E.T. I'd rather watch this than E.T.
That cast, though, of E.T., that cast.
Listen, I will
Henry
die
Thomas,
on this film.
Drew there was Barrymore.
Also, there was the guy from What We Do in the Shadows. He was one of the kangaroos. There was a little kid from a 90s movie. He was one
this
of the
This is for the end credit, after the end credit, Steve.
The cast die for on this film. Was amazing.
This cast is good for what this movie is.
This is for the after credits. Is part of it.
Did you guys stop?
See, that's what Jana always gets the most worked up after the show is ended.
It's true.
She's like,
she does.
You idiots don't know what you're talking about.
I'm still recording, just in case.
Did you guys stop recording?
No, I'm still recording.
Still recording. Okay. That's when she gets it all out at the end. She's just, they all hit. You idiots!